Welcome to a special Ag Perspectives podcast as the U.S. cattle industry joins with the rest of U.S. agriculture in celebrating the Phase 1 trade deal signing between the United States and China. Joining us today, Kent Backus of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Washington, D.C. office.
Kent, this is obviously an incredible deal, an incredible moment for U.S. agriculture and for international relations between two of the biggest countries, two of the biggest superpowers when it comes to economics in the world, U.S. and China. Your thoughts about this Phase 1 deal finally being signed?
Ron, this is a great day for the U.S. beef industry. This is a great day for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We've been working closely with the U.S. government to try to open the Chinese market for well over a decade. This is a great day for us because not only do we have access to the Chinese market, which we've had for a couple of years, but now we have meaningful access. We've been able to remove a lot of these non-tariff trade barriers, and that's what we're going to see as this agreement is implemented. Some of the big wins for our industry are the fact that China is lifting that BSE restriction. We faced a 30-month age restriction. Keep in mind, China banned us in 2003 because of one BSE case. And they used that ban as leverage for quite a long time, for 14 years, to keep us out of the Chinese market. And so today, this announcement includes, the lifting of that BSE restriction. It also lifts the traceability requirements, that bookend traceability that we've been facing with China, which became very restrictive. Probably one of the biggest things is that China is going to establish maximum residue levels for some very commonly used compounds in our industry, hormones, such as zearalenone, trenbolone, in melangestrol acetate. So this is a big opportunity for the U.S. beef industry. And as we move forward, it's going to be important that we do everything we can to adjust to these opportunities and finally be able to tap into one of the biggest markets in the world. This is just a big day for the U.S. beef industry.
As you mentioned, it is a big beef buyer. China has been a huge purchaser of beef from a lot of countries, and the U.S. has just barely participated.
Yeah, and that's been the problem. And when you look at the size of the Chinese market, you're talking about 1.4 billion consumers, a middle class bigger than the entire U.S. population, and yet we were only able to sell $30 million, $60 million, $70 million worth of beef over the last 3 years. I mean, we're missing a lot of opportunities into that market. Likewise, you look at Japan, which is a much smaller population, but it's a $2 billion market for us. And so once we're able to develop these supply chains and we're able to market our product to Chinese consumers, I think China is going to be easily one of our top export markets in a very, very short time. But the big thing about this is that it's not just about what we're going to gain potentially on the profit side of this. This is about science-based trade. This is about the U.S. reinforcing a position that we are not going to run from science. We're going to embrace it, that in order to meet the demands for the 21st century and a growing global population, we need to embrace technology and agriculture. And so when we engage with the Europeans, we engage with Britain, we engage with everybody else who tries to put restrictions, especially scientific restrictions on scientific technologies, then, this is a pretty big card to play. This means the United States is going to continue to embrace trade and to embrace science-based trade and not run from it. I think it also says a lot that President Trump took a very firm position with the Chinese and didn't capitulate like so many other countries have done. China's been able to have their way with a lot of other countries because of the size of their economy and their buying power. And because of that, they've been able to use a lot of these non-science-based barriers for many years. This is a big victory for science. This is a big victory for the U.S. beef industry. because this will enforce fair trade with China. So this is something we should all support. We should all get behind, because we have a lot of opportunities that will emerge in the Chinese market.
Kent, you know, in regards to kind of the devil in the details of getting these new standards in place, you indicate fairly quickly we could see some trade going. Any indications at all? Or are we waiting for further details on exactly what sort of discussions will have to be had? Exactly what'll transpire to make these new standards, these more science based standards, reality?
Well, when you look at the documents that USTR released today, it shows that this is all supposed to go in. It's all supposed to take effect in 30 days, but that still means that our government's going to have to engage with the Chinese government and really work on a lot of these technical points. So I think that there will be some growing pains that go with this. I mean, that's just natural. Anytime you're having to make big changes, as China's going to have to do, that's going to take some time, and it's going to take continued engagement on our end to make sure that they don't become back burner issues, because this is a huge opportunity for the U.S. beef industry, and not something that we're going to take lightly. So that'll be a big focus for us at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association for the next year or so, is making sure that everything is implemented properly. And we're going to assist our government, and we're also going to assist the Chinese to the extent that we can, so they understand why we use all of these technologies, why our system is as safe as it is, and so that they can feel confident in really opening that market. But this is not the last of the conversations. It's definitely, I would say, this is more of the beginning of a growing relationship, one that's going to take a lot of patience and understanding. It's also going to take a lot of commitment from our industry to make sure that everything that has been agreed to is fully implemented, so that we can enjoy it now and that future generations can enjoy it as well.
I guess this is literally stepping back from that never-never stance that had been there when we first agreed, what, a couple, 3 years ago, to get U.S. beef back inside China.
Well, Ron, I mean, the important thing about that initial agreement was that, you know, U.S. beef was the number one issue coming out of that Mar-a-Lago summit in 2017. President Trump had only been in office a few months, and, you know, immediately he is engaging with the Chinese. He's inviting them to Mar-a-Lago. He serves them, you know, a nice steak dinner, basically says, hey, here's what you're missing out on, guys. And they all enjoyed that. But keep in mind, the top item coming out of that summit was restoration of U.S. beef access into China. That was huge, because we've been banned in that market for 14 years. So, yes, that was the first step. And I think it really is a testament to the Trump administration and the grit and resolve of our negotiators that they didn't give up. They didn't stop there and say, ah, that's good enough. They said, we're going to keep pushing, because we know we can do better. We know we can get more. We know that we have a safe product that Chinese consumers want, and we're going to fight for it. And that's exactly what they've done. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And I think we have a lot of opportunities ahead of us. But again, there's going to be more conversations we're going to have, and we're going to have to make sure that, you know, China fully understands what it is that we're doing, so that we don't get shortchanged anywhere. And I think this is just a big, big opportunity for U.S. beef producers. And finally, Chinese consumers will be able to buy U.S. beef that they want so dearly.
And, you know, we've got obviously this phase one agreement signed today, but this could be an even bigger week if the Senate is able to successfully navigate and get a vote on USMCA before the week is out.
Well, Ron, I think the key thing there is that the U.S. Senate is going to vote on the USMCA this week. I mean, we're seeing all signs that, you know, the clock is starting in the Senate, that we should see a vote on Thursday. We should see this move forward. The fact that you have so many senators that are supporting it, I think it'll pass, you know, with quite a significant margin. And I think that just shows that, you know, trade is something that it's important to every state. It's important to every congressional district. And that's why you've seen such broad support for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. The great thing about USMCA for the U.S. beef industry is that, you know, we get to continue to capitalize on that duty-free, unrestricted access and that science-based trade with Canada and Mexico. This developed Canada and Mexico into $1 billion markets for us. The other good thing about it is we don't see the restoration of old failed policies like mandatory country of origin labeling. We know that some of the protectionist groups really wanted to see that come back, and we were glad to see that wisdom and cooler heads prevailed, and that we weren't stoking another trade war with Canada and Mexico by bringing back a bad policy like IMCOOL, one that would result ultimately and $1 billion in retaliation against U.S. beef producers. That's the last thing we want to see. So USMCA keeps all of the good things. It brings NAFTA into the 21st century, and it really just helps us to continue to sell high-quality U.S. beef to markets that we've developed in both Canada and Mexico, which, by the way, are two of our top five export markets. So this is a great week for the U.S. beef producers. It's a great week for international trade, and it's a great week for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Thank you, Kent. Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's D.C. office. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ryan Hayes.